fighting for America.
Every child in America has a right to a quality education. Whether it is at public schools or charter schools or private schools or Christian schools or parochial schools or home schools.
Fighting for Idaho.
My proposal for public schools calls for 7.4% more funding. That's almost $60 million more than when the Great Recession began in 2009.
Fighting for you.
You know, you're talking about me multitasking. About you multitasking with all these kids and all the education.
It is a lot of multitasking, but it's a lot of fun, and it's an honor and a privilege.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Good morning. Here we are at Coal Valley Christian, right off Eustick here in the Treasure Valley, promoting our school, securing our future. Big ups to our friends at CapEd Credit Union. We love our teachers, and it shows, and we love education. We're really thankful for CapEd for once again sponsoring, promoting our school, securing our future. Our great friends at Chick-fil-A as well for believing in what we're doing. Do we want to thank Joe and Brad and all the wonderful folks at Chick-fil-A for understanding the value of education and teachers. And we're always promoting the students and the parents and, you know, talking about the good things in education. Certainly there are a lot of issues that we talk about, whether it's funding, whether it's this, whether it's that. It's always great to go back to the classroom, and here we are at Coal Valley Christian. Brendan Koch with us here at Coal Valley. Good to have you with us, sir.
Yeah, good morning.
So you teach chemistry and science and such. You're from Montana, but you're back here in the Treasure Valley with your family. How challenging is it to teach the sciences to the high schoolers?
Like any subject, my passion for it will cause people to want to come along beside. Just like anything in life, people want to come along where people are excited, you know. And so my students feel that from me. And you know, it is natural because I, as a biology teacher and a chemistry teacher, I get to look at nature. I get to look at God's design that He intentionally put out there for us to be intrigued by. And so it's natural for us to want to be intrigued by science. And doesn't mean it's easy for, you know, 16-year-old kids to want to learn the parts of earthworms or whatever. But
sure.
But there is a natural you know, inquiry that we just have in us that we want to understand. So,
well, I think it's okay until we start seeing all these equations or you're on the digital board or whatever. And so the old days it was the chalkboard, but you know, this, and this equals this. Then we all seem to lose our passion for it, if you will.
You know, there's part of it that I love teaching AP chemistry that I joke with the kids that science is just math, but with a reason. You know, I get to teach them why we learn this stuff in math, that we can apply it to physical systems. We can understand and predict what will happen in chemical reactions based on this math. And it's exciting. It's exciting for them. Even just on my last test on AP chemistry, one of my students did this huge problem and wrote "Yay math" at the bottom because she was so excited that math actually worked and allowed her to solve this thing. And it's exciting for kids that really want to push themselves to see that math matters.
So. It does. We hear so much today that American kids have checked out of the sciences and the math. You're involved in that industry. Would you agree with that statement or not?
I this sounds bad, but I think kids.
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. We don't talk about anything bad. No,
oh,
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. It sounds bad. I think kids haven't checked out of math and science to check out of math and science. I think they checked out of things that are hard. And when life is easy, then it's, you know, then that's what I want to do. And science and math for a lot of people is hard.
You got that right.
And I love the fact that I get to teach that class or those classes. I love the fact that I get to push kids where they're not comfortable and watch them grow faster. So
sure. How do you motivate? Because the old days, whether it's the Gen Xers or the baby boomers, it was because the teacher said so. But these kids today, the millennials and then after them are the plurals, you have to sell them on it because they're so big, it seems.
Yeah, it's hard. Number one, it's challenging. I think part of it is you got to give them a vision, a long range vision, rather than just, you know, in the next 1 week of school, it's going to be hard. You got to give them a long range vision of, you know, you look at where are the the jobs. Where how are you going to get success? How are you going to separate yourself from other people when you're applying to college? Well, it's if you want to be in medicine or engineering or you know any of the tech world, you got to separate yourself through math and science, and you get a long range vision there, and then the kids that get it, that understand it, step up and move forward because it matters for their future long range. So
now, what about you? You could have done that, and you could have taught in the public schools, but you've chosen this path. Why?
You know, I taught in public school for a couple of years, and I loved it. But I remember specifically I had I was a young guy. I was teaching a big school in Portland, Oregon, and I was having up to 30 kids in my room after school just because they knew it was a safe place to be, and they would just flock to me. And I know that that is because I have the light of Christ in me and that I'm, you know, encouraging them as best I can. But it was really frustrating for me to be like, yeah, you should come and hang out with me and you know, I'll support you and work with you and not be able to tell them the full truth. And so when I moved into Christian education, which I've been for the last now 12 years, I love being able to say, you know, yeah, come have a passion and have fun and learn with me and I'll support you and I'll work with you. And I'll pray for you, and I'll encourage you in your, you know, devotional walk and in your spiritual walk with the Lord. And that's where true, complete growth happens. And that's why I'm at a, you know, a Christian school. I had, coming to Montana, I had offers at public schools, and that's not where the Lord had me. He had me teaching the entire student, the spiritual side as well. And I love that. It's my passion, so.
Well, we can tell just by listening to you, was it liberating to be able to talk about God in the classroom, particularly in a science classroom?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think science is one of the ones that gets twisted up the most because we, as humans, view ourselves higher than we ought and put a lot more stock in our scientific theories than we ought. And you know, I get to teach all of the scientific theories that we have as humans, and I get to say, you know, why you like science, you know, why we have these theories. It's because God said in Scripture that His divine nature and His invisible qualities will be clearly seen by what has been made. Well, here's our theories. Here's what we understand, and why do we look at this? Why do we want to look at this? So we can see God's divine nature and invisible qualities, and it's built into us. It's the way we're made to work. So.
What would you say to people listening right now at 580KIDO that, you know, their kids struggling in chemistry and, you know, they're more interested in, you know, World of Warcraft than, you know, chemistry or biology or the maths?
You know, do hard things. It's my challenge to all my students is to do hard things, to not be satisfied with comfort and with laziness. And let's see how far we can push those skills and expand ourselves, because if you're in neutral, that's exactly where you'll go. You'll coast whichever way the road is tilting. But if you want to drive forward, you gotta be in drive, and so you gotta have some drive to make it anywhere. So.
And finally, Missoula or the Treasure Valley, which is better?
I have to say that the Treasure Valley is better because that's where I'm at right now.
Good call. It's a line of scrimmage for you.
I drove in last night from Missoula. I was at a wedding over there last night, and it has its values too. But we love it here. We love the people here. The culture here is distinctly nicer. It's a lot better spiritual and social climate here than it is in Missoula.
Well, we'd have to give you the business if you said Missoula.
So. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, my pleasure.
580KIDO, it is 714, promoting our school, securing our future. Kevin Miller at Coal Valley Christian. Remember, you can check them out, coalvalleychristian.org. Do you want to thank our friends at CapEd Credit Union, promoting our school, securing our future. We love our teachers, our friends at Chick-fil-A, Eat More Chicken. Phone number is here, 580-5436, 580-KIDO. And a couple issues that we were talking about last hour, Tea Party Bob and I going back and forth over this new proposal that would cut the grocery tax, but it would raise the gasoline tax 7 cents a gallon. Looks like it's going to pass the House because the Speaker is involved in it. The Senate, it might be more of a challenge. And if you make money in the upper income, you're going to do quite well. If you don't, no tax break for you. And apparently, you know, you take a look at this and you think to yourselves, why would the legislature want to raise the gasoline tax? Well, they didn't do it last year because it was an election year. They decided not to take a look at the grocery tax, eliminating that last year. And here's my issue on this is, look, if you want to eliminate the grocery tax to give people a break, do it on one clean bill. But the politicians understand that they will not do it on one clean bill because they want to attach these other issues because they can't get it through just on one vote. Let's face it, you that work each and every day, you don't want to pay more money for gas, do you? And people say our roads and bridges. Remember, we had Mayor Dan Colas on from Caldwell, and I give it to the mayor. He said, hey, you drive between Caldwell and Nampa, the roads are pretty bad, but is that the state or is that the federal? Because I don't understand how we can have the expansive, you know, Meridian, this, that, and the other, whether it's redoing Meridian Road, redoing 10 Mile, in addition to that, the expansion that we've had to go through the entire winter and summer between Eagle Road and the connector, and all of a sudden now we have the roads that need some doing in between Nampa and Caldwell, and that's where the population is heading. Isn't that the federal government's responsibility? Because it's a federal highway. You can correct me at 580-5436 or agree with me if you like. On the other hand, I don't think, with respect to the public servants slash politicians who want to raise the gas tax, I don't think they've made their case. Now, you can pay our friend Young Jacob, and if you're watching on our exclusive VIP video stream, you can see that he looks like Edward Snowden. He, in fact, may be Edward Snowden for all I know. I don't know. But you can make the case to Young Jacob or old Kevin Miller and say, hey, the roads are bad. Okay, you can pay Young Jacob $100,000. Well, he's a young kid. You could pay him $50,000 to come up with a study to say that the roads are bad. Right? But where's the proof? Just because we have a study or the politicians say the roads are bad, do we believe them enough that you're willing to pay quite a considerable amount of money, 7 cents a gallon? So when you're filling up your truck, when you're filling up your ATV, when you're filling up who knows what, your hybrid Prius, you're going to pay more at the pump. And by the way, it's going to give you the state $100 million, not $262 million that we allegedly need. Now, whether it's Edward Snowden, Young Jacob, or Kevin Miller, when we have a good time and we go visit places, we spend money. We live large, and then the bill comes. Well, we don't ignore the bill for years and years and then accrue the interest and all of a sudden say, well, we've had an unfunded mandate with our credit cards. We do the responsible thing, as Dave Ramsey teaches us, and we begin to pay it. Well, apparently, whether it's because of election year politics, whether it's because we didn't have any money in the general fund, we spent the money somewhere else, a.k.a. the Internet. Ooh, that didn't work out too well, did it? Now we have a larger bill. And I think this is a bipartisan issue at 580-5436, 580-KIDO, that the legislature and Speaker Bedke and his brilliance is looking to kind of shuffle this off to Buffalo. Hey, let's eliminate the grocery tax. That's awesome. Hey, and if you make a lot of money, you're going to get a break in the income tax as if you need it. Okay, then we're going to bribe the rich people. And oh, by the way, if you're like a lot of people that listen to the station, driving a truck, driving everything else, you're going to pay more. More for delivery. It's going to hit our friends Pat from Middleton, landscapers, people that clean. I don't believe the state has made its case on why they need more money.
do you? 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Let's get you to work safely and on time.
Load our schools, secure our future. Brought to you by CAPED and Chick-fil-A. Now, back to Kevin Miller at Coal Valley Christian School on 580 KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
And coming up, what's it like to spend a year in space? Kevin Miller in the morning here at 580 KIDO. You know, it's funny we didn't talk to our friend Ron Paul Jim. He's always defending Bashar Assad, who last night on 60 Minutes gave this exclusive interview. I don't know if you caught it. Let's take a listen. Well, apparently Mr. Assad is a little shy here. We'll get back to him in a minute. But apparently Bashar Assad, the leader of Syria, saying last night he's dismissing all the allegations of human rights abuse and everything else going on. Out of the story, and if and when Mr. Assad is ready to speak, we'll have that for you coming up here at 580 KIDO. Evan Brown joining us from Fox News Radio. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
A year in space. Why would anybody sign up for that?
Well, why not? That'd be pretty cool, wouldn't it?
Talk about getting away from it all.
Yeah, well, both a U.S. astronaut, Scott Kelly, and a Russian cosmonaut, Mikhail Kornienko, are doing this. And they launched on Friday, and they will spend an entire year aboard the International Space Station. And the purpose of this is for scientists and doctors to really get a good look at how the human body handles being away from the planet, meaning in microgravity, in the environment of space, for such a duration, because if we are to ever go to Mars or any other far-off place, the human body would be subject to these conditions, and we need to know how the human body would react. So this is a way of doing it in a controlled setting, and of course the two people who get to do it are some very experienced space travelers. Who will spend a year aboard that giant floating orbital outpost we've got up in the sky.
Now, apparently, I guess they're going to study Mark Kelly and his twin brother?
Well, it's Scott. Scott Kelly is the one who's up in space. And, yes, they are okay. Twins. They were both U.S. Navy fighter pilots holding the rank of naval captain. That's like a colonel. They both became astronauts. Scott Kelly has commanded the space station a couple of times already. His brother Mark was a shuttle commander, so he flew the shuttle. Mark Kelly is also the husband of Congresswoman Gabby Giffords. Mark is now out of the astronaut corps; he's retired. But what this will allow scientists to do is that while Scott Kelly is up in space for a year, if they need to reference his physiology in any way, that they can look at Mark, because Mark is practically identical. Well, he's an identical twin, so he's practically the same, you know, same person, at least genetically. So they'll be able to look at him to get any information that they need about Scott while he's up in space.
Evan Brown joining us from Fox News Radio, Kevin Miller in the morning at 580 KIDO. You know, the fascinating thing about this is, Evan, and from your years of covering NASA, you know this, that space is very rough on you when it comes to muscle tone and cardiovascular health?
Sure. It's rough on a lot of your body systems because the atmosphere is much different. You know, an atmosphere in a philosophical term I'm talking about. Yes, being off of the planet means you're not subject to the planet's gravity. So your body doesn't have to do as much work to move itself around. That seems pretty cool, but it also is not very cool for your muscle mass and your bone structure, because part of the way we build our muscle mass and keep our bone structure is by making our body work against gravity here on the planet. So when you're in space, and when you're in space for long durations, you have to work out a lot. You also have to take pharmaceuticals that actually help you prevent bone loss. We know that we have to do that, but we've never had someone have to do it for a very long period of time, like a year, at least using these techniques and these pharmaceuticals that we've come up with. So this is, again, part of that experiment to see what it's like to be on those pharmaceuticals and be on that physical regimen for an entire year. They do have a lot of good knowledge about this stuff, but one of the things they don't know a lot about is why your vision gets worse over time when you're in space. And so people who spend long times in space, their vision gets significantly worse. And so we want to see how vision will hold up. Now, the cool thing is that when you return to Earth, the vision seems to, after a little while, it seems to return to how it was. But for some reason, your vision deteriorates over time. So they want to see what happens when we put someone up there for that long and what will happen to their vision. Does it get even worse, and how quickly will it come back once you're back in on a planet where there's gravity and where there's a thicker atmosphere and things like that? Other things that they'll have to look at is how well you handle the higher levels of radiation without the protection of Earth's atmosphere. We know that our astronauts and the Russians' cosmonauts are subjected to that, but what happens when they're subjected to it for that long of a time? Is it dangerous? Is it not so dangerous? These are things that we have to learn. I don't think so. No one's really going to melt from the radiation or anything like that. But it is akin to pilots flying across the North Pole and on a daily basis. It'll be more intense than that, but certainly something that we need to know how the body would react.
Eben, we do appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
You got it.
Eben Brown joining us from Fox News Radio. 7:32, we're at Coal Valley Christian, coalvalleychristian.org, promoting our schools, securing our future, thanks to our friends at CapEd and Chick-fil-A. You're listening to Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
If you're in neutral, that's exactly where you'll go. You'll coast whichever way the road is tilting, but if you want to drive forward, you've got to be in drive.
Promote our schools, secure our future. Brought to you by CapEd and Chick-fil-A. Now, back to Kevin Miller at Coal Valley Christian School on 580 KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. We're joined by the high school athletic director, Matt Bellinger. Matt, good to have you with us.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
So you're an engineer by trade, and now you're in your seventh year as an athletic director. What caused the career shift, sir?
Well, it's kind of a long story. I got into coaching. So I started at Albertsons Corporate back in the mid-90s, working in the engineering department, and my wife started teaching at what was Valley Christian back then before the merger. And she started coaching girls basketball. I started assisting after not too long, realized I was more into coaching than she was, and I became the head coach of the girls. Then I became the head coach of the boys. And I don't know, just over time realized this is what I love to do, and I felt like I was kind of getting through my day so I could go do what I really love to do and just being around the high school kids. And after a while, thought, I don't want to be 60 and say, why did I do it? Why didn't I find something I love to do? So back in 2008, there was an opening for athletic director, and they is athletic and facilities director, so I could use a little bit of my engineering background, but decided to take the plunge and have not regretted it for a moment.
Did it take you a long time to come to that decision? I mean,
it was a process. I mean, I think
a tale of two worlds, literally.
Very, very, very different. I mean, my engineering job, my last 4 years, I had a home office, and mostly worked on my own, just doing spreadsheets and making contacts and doing different things. And obviously, the school world is quite a bit more dynamic. And truthfully, I feel like I was built to be in kind of that more relational setting, and so it took a while to get there, but I think deep down I knew it was a good choice. So it's just a fear factor of leaving the known and taking a little bit of a dip in salary, but coming to that conclusion as a family. And so it's been great. It's been a real blessing.
Well, and again, you're living by the words that a lot of us espouse, your actions, not just words. But when you're talking about a lifestyle change, that's not easy when you have a family.
No, it's not. And my wife and I really talked and prayed through that. And we, at the end of the day, we just trust that the Lord will take care of us. And it's been pretty neat over the years. We've had some opportunities to do things, whether friends or, invite us places or things we thought we might not be able to afford to do. So we just have a peace that if this is what God wants us to do, we'll we'll take the step and we'll trust him to take care of us, and it's worked out.
But you see that a lot of folks that teach at religious or Christian schools, they make that sacrifice for their faith and for education.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it comes down to what you think is the most important thing. And, you know, and that's for me. There's plenty of people out there that are engineers or any other trade that are great at it, and God has gifted them in those areas, and they have a great ministry out there too. So certainly it's not a formula for everybody, but I think in our case, you know, I knew early on there's something about the relationship building, being around young people when they're forming their worldviews and just investing in them. There's something about that that really makes me come alive, and so I thought, yeah, let's do it.
You know, you're what we've heard today and what we hear when we go to school is very different from the headlines in the paper. You know, it's always very controversial involving education, and yet when we go to the schools, whether it's a Christian school, religious school, private school, or public school, we take a look at what really goes on, and it's about the kids.
Yeah. Well, I think we say that all the time, that we have real life walk through our doors every day. You know, there's this view that a lot of, especially in sports, I'll hear things like, well, at a Christian school, I would expect, you know, fill in the blank. And it's like, these are teenage kids. You know, there's nothing magical about calling it a Christian school that takes away temptations to make bad decisions or let your temper get out of control. And so, yeah, I think that at the end of the day, if we sat down with a lot of teachers across the valley, we'd have a lot of things in common about just our heart to love and serve kids and some of the challenges that come there and trying to walk them through the teenage years, which is not an easy thing. But yeah, at the end of the day, it is about the kids and about the families, and our goal is to partner with those families in the process of helping their kids mature.
What is, you know, when we talk of athletics, y'all compete at 2A, your relationship with the public schools, what's that like?
It's pretty seamless. I mean, I don't feel any different in our league. We have us and Nampa Christian are the two private schools, and there's five public schools, and I really enjoy my relationships with the athletic directors and the other schools. And I have found what you just said, that the people working in schools they're good people. I mean, they're not doing it for the money. They love kids. They're wanting to be involved. And so I really enjoy that. I really enjoy the relationships and don't feel any sense of, you know, the public schools are over in the corner saying, geez, those Coal Valley and Nampa Christian, you know, there's a real good partnership. And I think it's kind of been a surprise to me, actually, how much I've enjoyed that, just being a part of the league.
Right. Final thought, you know, you've made a big life change. What's next for you?
You know, I've never been a guy that was great at what are you going to be doing in 5 years? Going back to, you know, probably first part of my career, just I want to be where God wants me. And
right.
So right now I'm really enjoying Coal Valley. I have a freshman, a seventh grader, and a third grader, and they love it, and I'm happy. So I would think I'll be doing this for a while. But I think when I stepped out of my other career path, that process for me was healthy in I'm comfortable saying I'll do whatever I feel like I need to be doing. I don't feel like I'm holding on too tight. So probably Coal Valley for a while, but we'll see what the cards hold.
Well, I wish that many of us would have the dedication to faith and the courage to do what you've done.
Well, it's not like I'm a hero. I mean,
well, a lot of people, you know, aspire to do the right thing, but you know, they, you know, we stay in our little lanes. So big props to you.
Yeah. Well, thanks. I just praise the Lord for it. Just the opportunity. And it's nice to have something where you feel really clear at this is what I should be doing. And you hope that people can get to that point where they have a sense for what they're built to do and the willingness to go do it.
Sure. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
A pleasure. 747, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Let's go to the phones, and we go to Jim in Star. Jim, good morning.
Good morning, Millie.
Good morning,
great.
Jim.
You know, that gentleman you just talked to, he's got it nailed down. I mean, what a guy that says, hey, you know what, I'm doing what I know I'm supposed to be doing, and I'm not doing it for the money. I'm doing it for the right reasons, and that was pretty cool, man. I really like hearing that.
Well, are you doing everything for the right reasons, Jim?
Yeah, I am doing things for the right reasons, Millie.
You don't have to get...
Man, you're too tough on me.
Love here.
Did I lose you, bud?
No, we're just having a little trouble with the mic. Go ahead, please. It's tough love.
Little technical difficulties over there?
Yes, back to you, not me. Yes, go ahead, Jim. You were saying?
Oh, well, I was just saying, you know what? It's great that you're getting that across, you know, to the listeners, because sometimes I think a lot of people need to hear that, you know, they're doing something for a living, or they're doing something that their family has sort of pushed them into doing, and they don't really want to do it, and it's not them. And it's, you know, it's just nice to hear a guy like that say, you know what, I'm going to do what I want to do. And if it doesn't seem like it's the right thing, then I'll do something different. And you don't hear a lot of that these days. You hear a lot of people that are just sort of stuck in a hole that they can't stand, and that they just put up with it. You know what I mean?
Right. That's what I just said. Thanks for going over my statement for me.
Oh, yeah. Hey, well, anytime I copy you, it's just flattery, buddy. I just trying to be like a mini Kevin Miller. But
God bless you for that, Jim.
I got something controversial to say. Two things.
Oh,
imagine
that.
You ready?
Sure.
Okay. One is regarding some of the schools around here that are private schools and are Christian schools. They're still doing Common Core, Kevin, and you and I both know that Common Core doesn't work.
Okay.
So
I'm listening. Go ahead, please.
What's that?
Go ahead. I'm just listening. I'm not cutting you off. I don't want you to get defensive and accuse me of being a bad Kevin Miller. You go ahead.
Well, what I'm thinking is maybe we can ask why Coal Valley Christian has succumbed to the Common Core, and why don't they say, we know it doesn't work, we don't want your federal funds, and we'll figure out a way to do this on our own, just like...
Well, hold on. I don't know if that's true.
Well, when I sat there
Hold on. Go ahead. Would you like to speak to that? Go ahead.
Well, I'm probably the least qualified as the athletic director, but...
Well, hold on. It's either you or Jim, so I think you've got the qualifications.
Yeah,
over Jim.
I don't know Jim. I'm sure Jim knows lots. But our position on the Common Core is we are aware of it, just as I think it's good stewardship of preparing kids for college, but we don't teach it, and we get to set our own curriculum. So it would be irresponsible to not be aware of it, because that's what, you know, standardized testing and college prep is moving towards. But it doesn't dictate our curriculum at all. We dictate our curriculum. So it's pretty nice. We'll look at a standard and we'll say, okay, we at least know what the standard is, but we're probably going to do the standard plus some, and we set that for all of our stuff. So hopefully that clarifies. And I have my principal standing over too, in case I have any.
Sure.
In case I'm messed up.
It all sounds good to me. Jim, we're glad we answered your question. Thank you for the call.
Let's go to
Mike in Boise at 580 KIDO. Mike, good morning.
How are you, Kevin?
I'm just living the dream. How are you, sir?
Well, I'm great. Driving to work. Listen to Cole Christian. Both my sons went to Cole, and one of them's 30 and one of them's 35. And my grandson started Cole this year as a kindergartner, and I went to Grandparents' Day last week. I think it was a week ago, a week and a half ago. And to walk through the halls where my boys went to school, and to walk into a classroom and listen to them say the Pledge of Allegiance, listen to them say a prayer. And it was at a time when my wife and I couldn't afford schooling, but we made it happen. And I urge any parents out there that have any Christian beliefs to spend the money, spend the effort, because I have two great sons, and my grandkids are headed in the same direction. The faculty and staff at these facilities are so caring and so giving, and they're not there for, I mean, I just can't say enough about them. I could go on and on. Great, great facility.
Well, Mike, thank you for sharing. We appreciate the call.
Not a problem. Thanks, man.
Thank you. And correction to Jim and Star, Coal Valley didn't get any federal funding. There are some facts here on the Miller program. 7:53, time for traffic and weather.
Sean Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
7:57, Kevin Miller in the morning. Here at Coal Valley Christian on USTIC. Having a great day promoting our schools, securing our future. Phone number's here, 580-5436, 580-KIDO. And again, thanks to CapEd. We love our teachers. Thanks to our friends at Chick-fil-A for making this happen. A couple issues. Let's see. Bashar Assad actually had a chance to speak last night on 60 Minutes. We'll hear from him coming up. The idea of paying more for gas but less in groceries. Is that something that appeals to you? First, let's get you to traffic now at 580
KI. This is not realistic, and this is against our interest as government.
That's Bashar Assad. We'll hear from him next. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.